Hey, man, what a good crowd in the Lord's house this morning. We had a great crowd here on Wednesday night. If you're missing Wednesday nights, you're missing a great blessing. I know work prohibits some of you from being here, but if you can and make your way out on Wednesday night, it'll help you. I promise you that. It's like putting gas in the tank to help you get to the other side. It really is. And I know time and space sometimes. I've got several that work in Statesville. The time they get from Statesville to Trapp Hill and then over here, it's just hard to make. And I understand that. I really do. But if you can come, by all means, you'd be blessed by being here. Brother Jamie, if you could get the microphone at the piano, it's the orange covered mic. I don't want you singing just yet. I want to read my scripture first. But to the young girls that just got saved this morning, to Brother James and to any other that's a new convert in Jesus Christ, the psalm that I will preach today, it's in the Psalm Division 130. With the Lord as my helper, I want to help you today. I really do. I want to just kind of start off by saying that every single one of us have been in the place that I will preach about at some point in time or another. If you're here today and you're a visitor, I hope and pray that somebody's made you feel welcome already, because truly you are. This is God's house and you're welcome in His house. You're as welcome here as I am. You say, but yeah, you're the pastor. You're as welcome here as I am. Believe me, if the suit was laying here and somebody else was wearing it, you'd still be welcome. It doesn't matter who we are. We don't have big eyes and little U's. We're all in this thing together. We're either saved or we're lost, and that's just the way that it is. But to the young converts, to the new converts, old alike, young alike, whether you're saved and been saved for 50 years or whether you're a brand new convert, just now got saved, this psalm will help you. And then furthermore, if you're here and you're lost, I promise you, if you will listen with your whole heart, then you yourself will be able to cry out from the depths of the sin and the depths of the depravity that you're in right now. I don't have to point out that you're a sinner. I don't have to point out where you're at, because every single one of us knows where we're at in this great big thing called life. And I was talking to Miss Cindy coming up the road and bouncing some ideas that the Lord had put in my heart about the message. And we just started talking about the deep places in our lives. You say, what are you talking about when you say deep places? Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm just about over my head? If you hear that term, man, I'm just about over my head. I'm overwhelmed. What that means is I'm in a deep place right now. And if you'll look into scriptures, there's different places and different reasons that we get into based upon our own ability or on maybe disobedience or own obedience. There's some that got there because of their obedience to God. Joseph was one of them. He was a man of God. He ended up in a very deep place. He was in a dry well. But God never forgot him. It did not forget him when he was in that place. Jonah, Joseph was there for the discernment of God, that God might use him to take him to a further place, which would be the court of Pharaoh, that he would then be down in the land of Egypt and disseminating the grain. God was in every bit of that. But the thing is that God had his hand on Joseph, even though Joseph may not have understood. And then we look at Jonah. Jonah got into the deep for a whole nother reason. Jonah got into the deep because of disobedience. And let me tell you, it does not matter why you're in the deep. It does not matter how deep you are. I want you to know this. God knows where you're at. And this song that I've asked her to sing is called He Knows My Name. And my friend, He knows your name. And if you're a lost person, guess what? Even whenever you're lost, He still knows your name. You say, He does not. Zacchaeus was a lost man and he climbed up in a sycamore tree. Why? Because the crowd was coming that way. And Zacchaeus was but a short man, short of stature, probably much like Troy over here, just a little man of stature. And what he did was he shimmied up a tree. And what did he do? The Bible said that he wanted to see the Lord that day. And what did the Lord tell him? He didn't say, hey, whoever you are up in that tree, get out of there. No, he looks up in the tree and he says, Zacchaeus, you come down. Now, he knew Zacchaeus, but then he told him later, he says, Zacchaeus, this day salvation has come to your house. And that tells me that if you're lost, bless God, he might just be crying out your name today. Whatever your name might be, he's crying it out. But if you're saved, Brother Tam, it's just like Jonah in the belly of the whale. He said, in hell I made my bed. Bless God, he was in the depths of the sea, not just in the depths of the sea, but he was in the depths of a whale's belly. And bless God, he cried out. And from the depths of that place, he called out and God heard his cry. Amen. So as she sings this song today, I want you to hear me and hear me well. Does he know your name in the Lamb's book of life? Or does he only know your name in the book of life? You said, is there two books? The Bible said the books were open in another book, which is the book of life. Everybody's ever been conceived is in the book of life. But there's a Lamb's book of life, And that's where I want you to make sure before you leave today that your name is recorded, that it would be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Listen as she sings, and listen, it'll be 0 to 60 when she's done. If you need the altar, you come and use the altar, whatever it might be that you need today. If you're in the depths right now, you said, I don't know what it means to be in the deep. I don't know what it means to be in the depths. You surely will. Let me read our scriptures, and then when she's done, Psalm 130, invite you to stand over the house of God today for the reading of His Word. This is a song of degrees, or a song of ascent. There's 15 of them, and these are the psalms or songs that might have been sung when David was going back up with the Ark of the Covenant before he diverted it unto the house of Obed-Edom. They may have been singing one of these. There's only 15 of the songs of the degrees or songs of ascent. It could have been also they were singing them as they went up to Mount Zion. Could have been singing them on the way back out of Israel, out on the back way up back to Jerusalem from Egypt. Whatever it is, it's called a psalm of ascent or a psalm of degree, and it was a song. So I want you to think of it as a song. And then I want you to think of it in this manner. Man, I'm in over my head. I'm in the deep. Did Paul not get that way from time to time? He said, I've been in perils of thieves and robbers and perils of my own countrymen. He said, I needed some help. But guess what? God never forsook him. Amen. Psalm 130, division, verse number 1. If you found your place, say amen. Amen. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him there is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. You may be seated. Macy's going to sing, and then we're going to go. We're going to have service. I go ahead and get Brother Troy over here to bless our scripture reading this morning, if you will. Troy. He knows your name. Now, in what relation? Is it as a father and a child? Is it that relationship? You got a heavenly father and you're his and he's yours and he in you and you in him? Or is it in just a manner of this? I know who he is. And I'm still in the deep, but he's never plucked me out. And I'm just about over my head. I'm going under for the last time. You ever felt like you was drowning? I know when you're lost, that's a feeling you'll never soon forget. But for once you do get saved, bless God, you can glimpse back there and you just... Thank God that your name's recorded at that point. Go ahead for the last time. You ever...
How much sand is on the shore? He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. And he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed, and he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, can see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. He knew who I was when He carried my cross. He knew that I would fail Him, but He took the
Does He know? Yeah, amen. I'm glad He
knows my name.
Does He know you?
I mean,
does He know you as one of His children? Aren't you? Go ahead, bless God, that He knows you as one of His little dear children. And you know, if He knows you as a matter of one of His dear children, what's He want to do to you? Brother Tim, I promise you, He wants to bless you. The Bible said that it pleased Him. And bless God, and it moved Him to be able to do that for you and me. It pleased God. And that's what the Bible, I never understood that it pleased God to bruise Him. But bless God, it pleased God. Why? Because that was the point, that He would have to suffer and die and go to the cross of Christ and go to that place called Calvary and then suffer, bleed, and die. He said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to bless us, my children. There's 270 people in here today, and you can't tell me there's only three that needs help. My goodness, we've all been in the depths before. I'm telling you, depths, the same thing. The things that put us there, they're different for every one of us. It might be some disease or some sickness that's got you sidetracked right now, and you can't see out from under that thing. But I'm going to be honest with you right now. Brother Chris, it might have you in the depth, but I, bless God, know who's got that, because I know who's got the balm of Gilead, and I know who the balm is. Bless God, you might have been through a church hurt. You might have been through a divorce. You might be through some death, as Brother Potts is going through back here. Bless God, I don't care what it is. It's got you right now, feeling like you're about to go under for the last time. Brother Tim, I know that psalmist right there, he said, out of the depths. It wasn't one single event, Brother Chris. He didn't say out of the deep. He said out of the depths. And sometimes it seemed like the waves just keep on coming, and you just about get your head back up again, Brother Tim. You finally get a good diagnosis, and then here it comes again. There'd be something else that'll sidetrack you. Brother Kenny, just hang on, my friend. It won't be long. And I promise you this, He's not forgot about you. I don't care if you're laid up in the hospital. I don't care what you need might be. He knows where you're at. He knows your circumstance. He knows these children better than we know them. He knows them. And Brother Tim, we should never diminish anything from a young girl's heart or one of these young kids. Bless God, if it's big to them, it's big to God. Sometimes we just look at them and say, well, it ain't nothing. It'll go away. Bless God, if it's big to them, it's big to God. And we ought to pray for them and help them during their time of need. There's one part of this whole thing that I have trouble with, and maybe somebody else has trouble with it here today. And that's in the middle part of that psalm wherever he said, I had to wait. My friends, I don't do waiting very well. I'm going to be honest with you, neither do you. You don't believe that waiting is a hard thing? You go get a test done. You find the lump somewhere. You find something somewhere. And then you have to have a biopsy done on that. And then the doctors have to tell you it's going to be about 8 to 10 days before we get the report back. You tell me that that's a fun 8 days. You tell me that's a good 10-day wait. No, it's an excruciating wait. And it might be that you're waiting on the results of a test somewhere. But how about this? How about it? Some sainted mother in here has been praying for a wayward son, and you've been bringing him and laying him on the altar of grace for so many years. And Brother Chris, you haven't seen that son or that daughter come. You've not seen that move yet. Honey, that's a long wait on a mama's heart, hoping and praying that he don't die in some car collision somewhere, hoping that he don't die in some drug-induced stupor out there, laid up with a needle in his arm somewhere. That's a long wait for a daddy or a mama praying for the deliverance of a youngin'. Let me tell you, it's not just about sickness, brother. It's also about a matter of salvation. And Brother Archie, it's all these different things. They take us to a point. Brother, it seems like we're going under. And he said, the psalmist said, it's from the depths that I cried. I'm telling you today, cry unto the Lord today and let Him lift you out of the depths from wherever you're at. I got a whole laundry list of things that I wrote down and about people that I wrote down that had been in the depths, and they were there before you and they're there before me. Brother Chris, the Bible said that Abraham, he got instructions right from the high court of heaven. And Brother Tam, he said, I want you to take thy thy son. He didn't say take Ishmael. He said take thy son, thine only son, thy son of promise. He said, I want you to get the one from Sarah. And he said, I want you to take him to a mount that I will show thee up. And brother, 3 days passes and he ain't got the instructions as about exactly where he's going, but he did get the instructions of what was going to happen, brother Tam. He said, I want you to take him there and I want you to offer him a sacrifice. He knew what he was going for. Do you think that was a pleasant wait? Do you think that was a pleasant journey? I have a feeling that it was an excruciating wait, and he didn't know what was going to happen, but he knew that God was still going to be God on the other side of it. And bless God, it's that way through the scriptures. Oh, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, crying out against sin. He gets himself in a court of trouble. Why? Because he goes up against a king, and the king said, what do you want, sweetie? For the sake of Herodias, he asked for the head of John the Baptist in a charger. Now, brother, don't you think that just for a few days that old John got down into the depths? You better believe he did, brother Joe. Why? Because he said, you go ask him, is he the one or should we look for another? Brother, he's down there. He's as low as he possibly can get. But bless God, he cried out from the depths and the belly of hell made out my plea was what Jonah said. And I believe that same cry could have come from every single one of us today. Brother Tim, but the main thing is, you got somebody to cry unto. Aren't you glad, bless God, you got somebody to cry to? Empty tears and empty promises don't do you a whole lot of good. But bless God, if you've got a tear that comes up into the face of Almighty God, you've got the best one you can go to then. And it's all going to be okay in the long time. Brother, I can imagine Stephen and how that the rocks have started to flying. He didn't know how long this stoning's going to take place. But what did he do, brother? He just reared back and said, you uncircumcised of heart and ears, you do always resist all of you. Brother, he didn't slow down. He didn't back up. He said, Lord, I'm just going to wait on you. And then them old rocks have started a flying. And bless God, they started a pummeling him. And bless God, we see the King of all glory stand up where he was one time seated beside the right hand of God the Father. We see him stand up in solemn salute and said, that's my child and he's coming home. It's that way for every single one of us. Every one of us. You ever been in the depths? Who gets in the deep? You saw all of us old folks with bills to pay. How about the children from broken homes? Torn between here and torn between there. Can't really comprehend it all. Don't really understand it all. Don't you think that they're in the middle? Don't you think it feels pretty deep to them at times? I suggest that it really does. Not understanding completely what's going to happen and how the big picture's going to shape up. I've told you and told you, you ain't doing anything for Hope and Noah. Work on your relationship with God. And then work on your relationship with each other. I'm telling you, that stuff starts to come together here very quickly for us. Man, I got so much to preach on. The Lord's already working, though. But it's not just David when he was hiding in a cave that felt like he was in the deep. It was not just Elijah whenever he was hiding out that he was in the deep. You can come down, Miss Macy. Thank you for staying. Or you can go up wherever you're going to sit, baby. Brother, it's not just John the Baptist. It's not just the Apostle Paul. It's not just Stephen. It's not just Joseph. You know who? It's you. It's me. It's every single one of us that got up this morning that will eventually end up in the depths. I mean, it's almost ready to take you under. The waves have just about took you under. But yet here you are at 1624 Padre Road on the side of the road hearing a message about this very topic. That's got you sidetracked. Listen, discouragement's one thing. Depression's another thing. And all these things that I could preach about this morning. You said, what is it all about? It's about God wanting to bless us and Satan wanting to stop that blessing from coming. Yes. You said, well, who does the blessings come from? Every good and every perfect gift comes from above. Amen. You said, then where's all this other stuff coming from, preacher? I don't understand it. I need some deliverance. I need some help. Brother, Satan hates you. Right. He does. He hates you. He despises you, Brother Kenny. And you ought to know that off the get-go, that I'm a preacher. I'm a Christian. I put my suit of armament on, and I put my armament on right out of the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, and I have called myself a Christian, and others call me a Christian. I uniquely identify crucified with that old rugged cross. And because of that, Satan hates you, brother. He don't just hate it because you're a Christian. He doesn't just hate it because you're a deacon. He hates it because you're happy. He hates it because you've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. And what's he do, Brother Chris? He tries to destroy us and defeat us. The thief comes to destroy. The thief comes to kill us, Brother Chris, and to steal our joy. That's what Satan does, Brother Robbie. He hates you. He hates the bond that we three brothers would have. He hates the bond between a congregation and their pastor and their pastor and the people. He hates that, Brother Tim. So what would he do? He said, I'll just cause division. Could have been division that got you in the perils. It could have been division that's caused you to be in the depths. Could have been, I've already mentioned diseases or discouragement or depression. I hear people all the time say, oh, depression's all in your head. You wait till you get there and you'll see where it's coming from. Depression is hard to overcome, my friends. You got to stay in the book all the time when you deal with these things. It's real. I've hit a lot this morning, but I'm still not satisfied that where we need to be right now is where we need to be. We're not there just yet. I'm going to get back up here and get back in there. The Bible said, and I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter number 40 because I'm going back to the waiting room. Brother Tim, you ever been in hurt? You ever been in the deep? Didn't know how this thing going to come. I just don't know how it's going to come out. Boy, I have. Lord, I just don't know how this thing's going to come out. You ever been falsely accused of something? Oh, my goodness. You don't know what comes about when you've been falsely accused of something. Why? Because, brother, you've got a testimony on the line. And if somebody starts accusing you and that thing puts you out there in the limelight saying that he did this or he did that. I'm telling you, Brother Tim, false accusation can kill a man's testimony. It don't just kill a testimony. It can kill a church. It can kill a whole community. And I'm telling you what, waiting on the results of that, they don't come easy. They're hard. I've been there before, and I don't know how sometimes this thing going to come out, but Isaiah chapter number 40, I'll be over there in just a minute. I want you to pick up the reading in chapter number 40, verse number 28. The Bible said, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither is there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and shall be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Going back to our division in Psalm in chapter number 130, the Bible said, the psalmist wrote, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for mourning. I say more than they that watch for mourning. Why is everybody watching for mourning? Because it's been a long night. You know the scriptures as well as I do. That the Bible declares that weeping may endure for the night. And that night, my friends, gets long. That night gets weary. That night gets burdensome. That night, Brother Tam, would just about suck us in. But I'll tell you that it is in the deepest part. It's in the deepest time in your life that the deepest emotions are evolved. And then, bless God, it's where the deepest prayers are prayed. You don't believe me? You get in there. The earnest expectation of your prayer is when you're in the darkest place in your life. If you don't believe me, brother, when you're the sickest, when this one's the sickest in your life, man, that's when you start getting a hold of God, because that's when you need it the most. A diamond, brother, would shine the brightest if you could hit it with the slightest of light when it's in the darkest of places. But bless God, Brother Tam, the deepest devotion of a man's heart's going to come from the deepest place he's at. And I'm telling you, Brother Kenny, when you get down there and there ain't no bottom left, I mean, you're on the rock bottom. Bless God, just plant your feet and stand up because you're on the rock of ages. And then what do, preacher? You just look up. Why? Because if there's any light, it's going to come from above.
Yes.
But waiting is never fun. Waiting's not fun. This psalmist said that I'll get that verse again, my soul waiteth for the Lord. They that wait for the morning, I say more than they that watch for the morning. Why would anybody watch for the morning? Why would anybody want the morning? Because, brother, I'm telling you what, you'll cling to any slightest glimmer. You'll cling to any hope that you can find. That's the slightest of light would provide you hope in the time of darkness. Have you not heard the saying, Brother Tam, that there might just be light? Where? At the end of this tunnel. That tunnel might be 20,000 miles long. But brother, if there's the slightest light out there at the end of it, you're going to pick up on it. Right. Why do they wait for the morning? Why do they hope for the morning? What are they longing for, Brother John? The same thing that the disciples would long for. The same thing that you would long for. The Bible did say in the book of Psalms, Miss Wanda, that weeping endures for the night. Why? Because of what I'm preaching about. The depression, the struggles, the discouragement, all these things that I'm preaching about. Brother Chris, it's there that we form these opinions. Either God can help me or He can't. I'm of the opinion, and I can back it up with Scripture, bless God, that God is able to help us. I wouldn't just give you my opinion without showing you that He's done it for others, Brother Tam. And if He did it for them, bless God, He can do it for me and He can do it for you. I love the Lord. But the Bible said weeping endures for the night, but joy, it cometh in the morning. This psalm here, it's a psalm of encouragement to me because it is the deep places in our life that produce our deepest cry. I've heard people weep until they have no more power to weep. I've heard people cry until they have no tears on their cheek. I've seen it. I've watched it with my own eyes, and then it makes you wonder, how can a man get himself from that so low point in life to be able to be delivered? My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from above. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from above, from the Father of lights. Listen, death, Brother Potts, we're with you. Despair, disappointments, and discouragement, all kinds of things. They cause us to have great deep things. But here's what we're going to learn about these places. We're going to go right back through this very quickly, and then we'll be closing here in just a few minutes. Look at verse number 1 and 2. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. You say, what's that? You'll start to learn more about your prayers when you get into the depths. You'll learn more about your prayers. Brother David, we'll find out that we've been playing them little patty cake prayers. We'll start finding out, Brother Tim, that we just mimicked words. We almost become as they did by just vain repetition. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And now I'm off to sleep. Rub-a-dub-dub, bless the grub. Let's eat. We start praying these little almost frivolous prayers. Brother, but I'm telling you, when you get into the deeps, you'll start to learn more about your prayer life. Why? Because this psalmist said, out of the depths, out of the deep parts, out of that lowness of life, I have caused my heart to ache and break, and I have cried unto you, O Lord. It's there. You're going to learn about your prayers. If we get through this service and you help, it helps you to understand that I've been praying some little flimsy, whimsical prayer that has no meaning. Bless God, I want you to understand. Get along with God and tell Him what you need. Say, Lord, I need a greater, closer walk with you. And Lord, put that in my heart to cry out unto thee. Amen. You're going to learn more about your prayers. Look what the psalmist said. Out of the depths have I cried. It's about crying out unto God. Who do you cry out unto? If you don't have the Lord, who do you go to? Who does the lost man go to? Brother Potts, you've had a church family around you. You've had all kinds of people around you. Every time I come over there, you've been just inundated with people that love you and surrounded by you, just surrounding you with prayers and loving on you. Even witnessed it firsthand a while ago when one of our members come and just hugged you real good. Just wanted to hold you for a minute. What's the lost man do? What's the lost man do whenever the one that he just lost had never made a profession of faith? You said, does that happen? More times than you realize. I've stood over the casket of probably at least a half a dozen in the last year. You say, well, who were they? I didn't know them. It would be Brother Tam at the funeral home called and said, hey, preacher, will you help us in another one? I know you don't know them, but they used to know the pastor of the church that you're at. And they knew him, and some of the family knew him. And you're the only one that they know. They didn't even know who was there. They just knew the name of the church. Will you help this family? Brother, you got a family of 50 people. Not one person in that family got a pastor. I'm telling you, it's hard. But who do they cry out unto? Where do they go? They sing that song just last week. Where could I go but to the Lord? That's the only place we can go. So who do you cry out unto if you're a lost person? This psalmist said, I cried unto the Lord. And they said, oh, Lord, hear my voice. You'll learn more about your prayer life. You'll learn more about His presence. Look in verse number 3. It says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark the iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Brother Tim, we're all guilty. There's not one of us in here guiltless today. We're all guilty before God. He will not hold us innocent for the things that we do, be it as a nation, be it as an individual, be it as a church. That's why it's so ever important for each one of us individually and wholly to stay prayed up unto God. Why? Because you're going to learn about your prayer life and you're going to learn about His presence. I feel His presence here today. I feel it here more today than in, I'd say, the last many, many, many Sundays. The Sunday you got saved, Brother James, was a Sunday I felt the presence of God. It was a youth Sunday, if I remember correctly. But since then, Brother Tim, I'm on it. I feel the Lord all the time in my heart. But some days you just feel Him a little bit more. He's here today. And when you get into the depths, you'll start to learn not just about your prayer, but you'll learn about His presence, brother. Why? Because when you're down there by yourself, you'll start to realize who's down there with you. You're not down there alone. You never were alone. The Bible said, Brother Chris, that He'll go with you even unto the end of the way, even unto the ends of the earth. The Bible tells us that. He said, I will never leave thee. What part of that does never mean? Never? What does that mean? Somebody that's a scholar, what does never mean? You know what I can find? I find it means never. He said, what is that in the Greek? I don't have a clue what it means in the Greek or the Hebrew. But He said, I will never leave thee. What's that mean? It means that He will always be there. And if He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, man, God, I'm going to hang on to that. And you'll find out more about your prayer life, but you're going to find out more about His presence in your life when you get in over your head, when you get into the deeps, the depths. Verse number 4. You'll learn about our prayer, your prayer. You'll learn about His presence. You'll learn about your own pardon. In verse number 4, here's what He said. But there is forgiveness. You'll find out about His presence, and brother, you'll find out about your own prayer, but bless God, you're going to find out about His forgiveness and how that He can give you and grant you a perfect pardon. Do you know what a pardon means? Some of you scholars in here today, do you know what a pardon means? A pardon means, somebody said it up here, it's as if it never happened. If you get a full pardon, I mean, if you're in this court of the law of this land, if you get a pardon, that means that the rights that had been suspended or taken from you have now been reinstated. That's a good way to go right there. And you'll learn more about His forgiveness. You'll learn more about His pardon once you walk in it. Amen. We keep going. That's verse number 4. He said, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That part right there, the latter part of that is part of the problem that we're dealing with in this church, in your life, in my life, and as a nation. We just don't fear God. People just do not fear God anymore. You're right. What is the beginning of wisdom and of understanding? It is the fear of the Lord. And that's the part of the problem, Brother Joe. We just don't fear God anymore. That's why we pass stupid laws in the nation. That's why we do stuff that's against God. It's anti-Christ because there's no fear of God. You'll learn more about His your prayer, His presence, our own very pardon. Now, 5 and 6, this seemed like it's been the theme today. I didn't know it was going this way, but I don't choreograph this. I've written about 5 words down there. If you want to see my message, brother, right here it is. You said that's a whole lot of preaching off of that. This part right here is what seemed like has been the theme of today. I didn't know it was going this way. I thought it was going a different direction. That next word is patience. Now, why are we in such a turmoil? We are very impatient. That's why Brother Joe and I talked about it at the hospital the other night. That's why the Menendez brothers would kill their parents. Because they want what mom and daddy's got right now. Not understanding that mom and daddy labored for 30, 40, 50 years to get what they've got. So those brothers killed their parents and then was flaunting the Rolexes and driving Lamborghinis. But do you know where your patience, you're going to find out about your patience when you're in the depths. Because you know why? What does the Bible say causes us to have tribulations? I give you the answer. I feel like Alex Trebek on Jeopardy and I just give you the answer. What is tribulations, Pastor? Where does patience come from? The Bible says that patience comes by tribulation. Tribulation worketh unto patience. Patience experience. Experience brings hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Brother, tribulation will cause you. And you'll learn more about your patience. I'm just not a patient person. You ask my dear wife. My daughter got it honest from me. She's sitting behind you at the intersection. If the light turns green, if you ain't got your foot on the throttle, and you don't... Yeah, I'm serious. If you sit there longer than about 0.02 seconds, guess what? You're likely to get rear-ended. She does not want to wait. If the light turns, you're supposed to go. If she had a big rubber bumper, every one of us would be in danger. Because she would just kind of give us a little nudge. Just nudge us off the road. You pull up to the drive-thru, Brother Tam. You just ordered a Big Mac. You didn't want any special sauce. You wanted extra lettuce. You wanted this and that. And guess what? You want it by the time you get from that speaker cone to the window. And you don't want to wait there. We are impatient. And it's not just in this stuff that I'm talking about, brother. We're impatient in the church house. You'll take a young preacher, and I'm just going to use these preacher boys. You'll take a young preacher and put them in a mountain valley. You say, what about Mountain Valley? That's where I pastored. And Brother Kim, we walk in there, we want that place to be Calvary. And we want it to be Calvary overnight. So what do, preacher? We put in programs. We put in committees. We'll put a committee to oversee the oversight committee. And then we'll grow this place with popularity. We'll grow it with programs. We'll do all these things. Bless God, you better grow it the same way that it's been grown here for the last 75 years. And grow it on grace and God's glory through the preaching of the cross. Not on some gimmick. Not on something else, Bless God. Because if we ever go that way, this thing's going to crumble. Because it was built on something other than the rock. Patience to build a church. It takes patience to grow a family. It takes patience with these teens to bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. You say, well, they're going to make mistakes. Is there anybody in here that didn't? Be so bold as to raise your hands that I come out of my teenage years and didn't do anything wrong. Miss Vicky, put your hand down. She didn't have her hand up. She was just an easy target. Be patient with your teens. I didn't say be liberal. I didn't say give them reins and let them hang themselves and at the end of the noose dangle there for a while you go by and mock and scowl at them. No, but be patient with them, Brother Jody. We got to be patient with them. Why? Because they too might be in the depths. You'll learn about patience when you get into the deep. You'll learn about your prayers. You'll learn about His pardon. We're going full circle here. I'm going to skip this. I'm going to go ahead and get it. I'm here right at it. Look at verse number 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord. With Him there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. There's two things in there. Anybody catch that? And Brother Chris, you are an alliterator from alliterators. There's promises in here. You'll learn more about His promises, Brother Tam, when you finally get plucked up off the bottom. When He establishes your feet, sets you on a place, on a path of going in the right direction. Brother James, does it not change your walk just a little bit? I say it changes it a whole lot. How can you become a new creature and it not change you? How can you do that? You have to. And lastly, you'll learn about, it's in there, it uses the word redemption. And in the last verse, number 7, it uses the word redeemed. You'll see it, redemption and redeemed. It's in there twice. It says in 7, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption, and He shall redeem Israel. What is redeeming something? I'll just give you the answer to that. You'll learn about your purchase. You said, what about my purchase? You're not your own, Dean Johnson. The Bible says, no, you're not, that you're not your own, for you are bought with a price. If you are bought, that means you have been purchased. Now you need to understand who did the purchasing. Understand who did the buying. You say, well, preacher, I'm still in the depths and I don't understand all of this. You will in time. Miss Macy, come back, sing the same song again. I'm going to ask you this question. Does He know your name in the free pardon of sin? And is it ever recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you been redeemed? You say, preacher, I'm still in the depths. Then cry out. Amen. Cry out. That's all you got to do is cry out. And I promise you, He'll hear your cry. He will. You say, preacher, I don't know some 30-word prayer to pray. Do the one the thief did. Lord, remember me. That's a pretty good one.
Yes, sir.
It's not hard to understand. Lord, just remember me when you come into your kingdom. Amen. Don't forget me, Lord. I'm a child of insurrection. I'm a sinner. I've already told that other thief over there what we're getting our due reward. This man's done nothing, but we're getting what's coming to us. Yes. Lord, just remember me. Brother, he did everything right there. Part of it with his heart.
That's right.
Because he acknowledged me, he said, Lord. Recognize him for who he is. As she sings today, and we stand all over the house today.